the sun sets free, is free in. Come on, church. He whom the sun sets free is free. But I heard the Spirit of the Lord say to me, he said that from tonight forward, your behavior, your appetite will be a reflection of your freedom. So you won't. Out of all things I am, everything I hope to be, if you look into my heart, there's a worshiper in me. Out of all the things I am, everything I hope to be, if you look into my heart, there's a worshiper in me. Worshiper in me. You are holy. Yes, you are God.
I really love you.
From the bottom of my heart to the depths of my soul, in the Spirit, love to worship you,
love to worship you,
oh Lord, oh, you are. Don't you know we serve a holy God? I really love
you.
My God, oh, 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 oh,
oh,
oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh,
oh,
oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh,
oh, oh, oh, oh,
everything I hold. Into my heart, there's a worshiper in me.
Out of all the things I am,
everything I hope to be, if you look into my heart, there's a worshiper in me. Worshiper in me. I love this. Listen. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and the worshiper is in me. Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And the worshiper
Love the worship. Lift those hands right now. This is a good place. Come on, celebrate it. If you really love the worship, come on, begin to bless him. Come on, come on. Give him the fruit of your lips right now. Come on. Everybody in this place, come on, stretch your hands before your God. Just celebrate him. Come on, come on. Tell him how much you love him. Tell him how much you care. Tell him how great he is in your life. Come on, just love on the Lord. I'm talking about your Savior.
Man, I tell you the truth, this song always gets me. I love to worship. I am, ooh, my God, help me, Jesus. I am a true worshiper. I'm truly trying to stay connected to the source. Trying to always elevate and increase my spirituality when it comes to the things of Yahweh God. He said, I'm a true worshiper. I love to worship. I love to praise his name. I love to get into that place, or if I can say it better like this, I love to get into that space with God. Hallelujah. There's a lot of people who want to get into a place with God, but I want to get into a space with God. Hey, God bless everybody on tonight. I am your friend. I'm your brother. I'm your cousin. I'm your nephew. I am Prophet Dwayne Woods, and you have just entered into the Prophet's Closet. Well, I tell you what, tonight is going to be an awesome treat on tonight. I hope you got yourself together and you're ready for this. Because I remember telling each and every one of you a couple of Wednesdays ago that I'm going to talk to you all about code blue. You might want to write that down. Code blue. I'm a dissect it. I'm going to be able to, hopefully by the power of the Holy Spirit, teach each and every one of you what it really means to be in a code blue in the spiritual mindset. Not the carnality, but the spiritual mindset. Code blue is a terminology name used in the medical field. So if I have any nurses or any doctors that are on the line tonight, you already know what a code blue is when given over the sound system at a hospital. You already know what it is. Glory be to God. But there's some of you who don't even know in the spiritual aspect of it, what is a code blue? Why is God, Yatabasha, concerned about those who are in a cold blue situation? And I'm telling you right now, by the sound of my voice, there are so many people in the world today on the believer side and the non-believer side that is in a code blue, and Jesus is concerned about you, and he's getting ready to see about your situation. There's a passage in the Bible coming from the book of Psalms 147 and 3. The Bible says, he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. Did y'all hear that? He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds, which means that there is nothing on God's green earth that God can't heal, because there are so many people who are in a cold blue, and Jesus says, I'm coming to see about your wounds. And guess what? I'm not going to leave you in the condition of where you are at right now. I'm getting ready to see about you. Let me calm down. I'm trying to calm down here, Pastor E. I'm trying to calm down here for those who are listening to me on the radio wavelength. I'm trying to compose myself because I feel the fire of the Holy Spirit, and I'm telling you that some of you are going to be encouraged on tonight, and you're going to look at things a lot differently from what you have already looked at. The Bible says in the book of Jeremiah 17 and 14, he says, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise." Whoosh, look at what the Bible says. When you are in a cold, blue situation, you can look up to the Father and say, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise." Yes, my God, my God, my God. Yes, we're getting ready to have a time tonight. Amen. And for those who think I'm on the road, I'm not on the road tonight. I'm in the presence of my own home. And so now I can get real with it tonight. Tonight I can get real with it tonight. So before I do get started, because I'm telling you, I'm in an atmosphere. I'm in an atmosphere where there's only between me and God, because somebody needs to hear this on tonight. Somebody needs to hear this. The Bible says in the book of Jeremiah 33:3, it says, "Call upon me and I will answer you." He said, all you have to do is when you are in the cold, blue situation, call upon me, and I will answer you about your situation. I will answer you. And then he says, I will begin to show you great and mighty things that you know not of. But you first have got to call on me. You got to tell me about your problem. You got to tell me about your circumstances. You got to tell me about your isms and schisms. Even when you don't think I know what's going on with you, but I just need you to have a conversation with me. Need you to talk to me. Hallelujah. There was a song back in the days from this group called Jodeci. The song was "Come and Talk to Me." I really want to know you. I really want you to show me, God. Come and talk to me. I really want to know you. Can you come talk to me? Because I want to show you something. Glory be to God. Amen. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you on tonight. As people are listening abroad, Father, I pray that you touch them in the areas of where they're at right now, God. Because there are many people, God, who are going through something, but you're actually saying while you're going through it, you need to grow through this. And so, Father, I want to thank you right now. I want to praise you for everything that you're doing. I want to be able to let you know, God, that whatever is coming out of Dwayne, Father, is being receptive to you, Father. So, God, I'm asking right now, in the name of Yahshua, HaMashiach Christ of Nazareth, that you begin to hear the cries of your people, Father, from abroad, God, regardless of whatever color they are, God, whatever creed they come from, Father, begin to analyze the circumstances and begin to assess it, Father, and then begin to send the need to it, Father, in the name of Jesus. So, Father, we thank you, we glorify you, and we give you the praise. And, Father, I thank you that Dwayne is no longer in the building, but your Holy Spirit has shown up, God, and you're getting ready to talk to your people because these are your people, Father. And those who are listening, Father, I pray as they're stretching forth their hand to the radio system, Father, that you begin to heal them right now, crown of their head to the very sole of their feet, Father. I thank you right now, God, that they have just tuned into a frequency, Father, where you are at. And so, Father, meet us right there in the frequency, Father. Meet us in the airway right now, Father. Begin to do great and mighty exploits in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, as we give you praise, give you the honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So tonight, men and women of God that are on here, if you have your daughters listening and if you have your sons on here, God bless the audience. Amen. I hope and pray that what I'm about to say tonight is going to penetrate what's inside of you. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, we have been healed. Listen to that. The Bible says, let me take this jacket off. Good God Almighty, because I'm feeling something going down on the inside of me. In 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, we have been healed. Cold blue is in the land, and many folk don't even know that God says, I've already healed your situation. You just need to walk in it. You need to act like you're healed. Well, God, I still got a little pain over here, but still act like you're healed. Well, God, this has not been working out for me, but it ain't based upon your actions. It's based upon how you respond to what I just said to you. Act like you're healed. Oh, my God, help me. Let me. Ooh, I feel something going down on the inside of me, the Holy Spirit. And I'm thankful for the activation thereof. Amen. So I want to talk to you all tonight about this simple word that is used in the medical field. So for all of my nurses on here and doctors, God bless you. Those who work in the hospitals and medical centers and urgent care and all of that stuff in emergency rooms, y'all already know what the code blue definition means. You already know what it means. But there's some of you who are listening to me, you don't know what it means. But let me explain this to you. When I was in the hospital with my daughter who was hit, and I remember saying this to you all a couple of Wednesdays ago, and I broke down and I began to weep because of what had happened and what transpired with my daughter. And as she was on this gurney, she began to look at her daddy and say, "Daddy, I am sorry. I am sorry." Now, I don't know about many of you who are on here. I'm pretty sure that there are a lot of fathers that are on here, and you can attest to what I'm getting ready to say. When your child is in some pain, but yet and still, they're not concerned about the pain that they're in, but they're concerned about the person who they may have hurt while they're in pain. My daughter felt as if she was hurting me because of the pain that she was in, and she began to look at me with tears in her eyes to say, "Daddy, I am sorry." Now I'm getting ready to explain to you, there are some of us who are in some deep-rooted pain and have some deep-rooted issues, and we'd be looking up to the Father and say, "Father, I am sorry that I've allowed myself to get into the situation. Father, I'm sorry that this pain has stricken into my body. Please forgive me, God, for what I've done." And God looks at us. Oosh, ay. He looks at us with a smile on his face, with joy in his heart to know that you are in a situation, but yet still complaining about the situation you're in. You look up towards heaven and say, "Father, I'm sorry. Sorry that I've gotten myself in this situation." Hallelujah. You don't take blame for it. You don't blame nobody, but you look up to the Father and say, I'm sorry. Amen. Code blue. Let me explain to you what it is. A declaration of or a state of medical emergency. This is what a code blue is. And this is where we are at in the United States and abroad. The whole world is in a medical emergency. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There's some who don't even know who God is, who's in a medical emergency. There are some who know who God is, and you are in a medical emergency. And it goes on to say this, a medical emergency, and call for medical personnel and equipment to attempt to resuscitate a patient, especially when he or she is in cardiac arrest or respiratory distress or failure, which means you are about to die. Glory be to God. You ain't dead yet, but you are about to die because of the circumstance of the situation that you are in is trying to kill you. Glory be to God. But Jesus says, I know the conditions that you're in, and because I heard the 911, the code blue. The code blue is in another rep to a 911 call. And guess what? The person who answered the phone is not the person who you thought should have answered the phone, but it is he himself, the Messiah, who's heard your cry. Woo, my God, help me, Jesus. And he didn't hesitate but to say, we're getting ready to come to your need. There's getting ready to be a resuscitation going on. There's getting ready to be a restoring going on because of your distress. Getting ready to see about your need. Getting ready to come and talk with you. And I'm coming to take you from the place of where you at to bring you into the place where you should be. Amen. When you're in a cold blue, amen, and you're going through some things and you're trying to figure this walk out with God, or you're trying to figure life out, and you're calling a cold blue. And see, what I found out in the medical hospitals and abroad, all of these medical places, when a cold blue is announced over the PA system, all you hear is the person come on and they just say code blue room 314, code blue room 314, code blue. And what you see is doctors and nurses and the staff leave wherever they were at to go assess the situation in room 314 because a distress call has been made, which is the code blue, and nobody sits in their chairs. Nobody is standing by themselves, but everybody is running to assess the situation. And I want to tell somebody on tonight, if you have the answer to somebody's situation, why are you sitting around? Why are you standing still? There has been a code blue call upon the earth realm. Do you not hear it? And when you are equipped with the things that God has inside of you, you don't sit still on the sideline and wait till somebody goes into cardiac arrest or respiratory distress. You immediately, once you hear the sound code blue, you take off running to assess where the problem is at, because you have a need. You got the need, amen, for the person's problem. Can you, as a believer, look at the person and assess the situation, and then you have an answer to the need? Oh, my God, up in here. Do you have what I need? Oh, my God. Did you hear that? Do you have what I need? Is everything in you that God has placed in you since you have been saved, sanctified, and filled with the precious gift of the Holy Spirit? Do you have what I need? Oh, my God, I'm about to fly up out of here. Amen. Do you have the answer to my circumstance or my situation? Can you assess it properly and give me what I need? Not what I want, but what I need. Do you have that? And if you have what I need, why haven't you answered the 911 call or the code blue? I know why you ain't answered, because you're too worried about your own isms and schisms. Glory be to God. You're only concerned about your four and no more. Amen. And that's what's wrong with the body of Christ right now. We're too concerned about our own mess. But Jesus, when he walked the face of the earth, wasn't concerned about Jesus. He was concerned about humanity. Ah, yeah, 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 yeah. You didn't get saved to be concerned about your form and more and no more. Amen. You got saved to be concerned about humanity. Glory be to God. Not just the ones who are saved. You must be concerned about the ones who ain't saved. You must be concerned about the ones who don't know Christ. You must be concerned about them who are fallen by the wayside and need help. Cold blue. There's a cold blue. Where you at? Where you at, elder? Where you at, pastor? Where you at, prophet? Where you at, apostle? Where you at, bishop? You're so concerned about titles, but you're less concerned about people. Oh, my God. Help me up in here, somebody. I'm about to lose my place right here because I'm so more concerned now about people instead of what I have been ordained in. Glory be to God. A piece of paper ain't going to take me to the place where God wants me to go. It's just a formality of what I've been through and how I have been elevated in such a way. Glory be to God. But it don't stop me from being concerned somebody else's condition. Father, help me. Help me up in here. Amen. So a cold blue is a declaration of a state of medical emergency. Ah, yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a medical emergency in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. There's deliverance that need to take place, but we have people who don't know how to work in the spirit of deliverance. We don't have people who know how to operate in the thing that they have been called to do. Oh, shy. It's just been a formality. Oh, my God. There's a movie script that we are playing to. And guess what? Where is the person who went to got the popcorn? Because that's what's going on in the body of Christ. We have too many people who are showing up just to watch a movie. Oh, but I come to tell somebody on tonight, you need to put away the manuscripts. You need to put away the popcorn and the soda. You need to get out of your fine linen and get into the trenches because the Bible says, amen, that he has called you to go out into the highways and the byways and to compel them. Oh, my God. Oh, God, I'm over here. Y'all might want to call some more people. You might want to get some more folk on this line right here because it's on fire right now. I don't know if y'all feel it, but I feel something going down deep inside of me. The medical emergency going on. There's somebody on the line right now. You have a medical emergency in your home. And you've asked certain people, can you help me? Can you assist me? And they say to you, sis, I'm praying for you. No, they ain't praying for you. They just said that out of formality. They ain't really praying for you. Glory be to God. Because if a person was really concerned about those who was going through something, guess what they would have did? They would have stopped what they was doing and came to assess the situation and begin to give a need to it. My God, help me, Jesus. They will stop what they're doing, Pastor E, and they will assess the situation and begin to pray right then. Somebody asks me for prayer. I don't say, okay, I'm going to pray for your brother. I'm going to pray for your sister. No, I take them by the hand right then, and I begin to pray. Because there's no telling between our spaces of where he or she is going to be after I leave their presence. But we'll tell folk, I got you, sis. I know where you're at. I got your number. I'm going to call you. And because we are so wrapped up into time and what we're going through, guess what we do? It skips our mindset to call the ones who just asked us for prayer. Amen. So we have a cold blue that just went unanswered. We have a cold blue that just went unanswered. And what did I tell you? When a cold blue has been announced over the airwaves in a hospital, they stop immediately. Do you understand what I'm saying? Y'all don't understand what I'm saying. Because let me tell you this. When my daughter was in the hospital, she was in the hospital room because they after we found out what was going on, what took place, they moved her to a room. And so I was in this room. We was in this room for about a month and a half because she was really in some bad shape. But how many of y'all know, thank God for prayer? And thank God that she has a daddy who's a prophet to the nations, that I can talk to the Father, not just about my situation, but about everybody's situation that was on the second floor with her. I was no longer concerned just about my daughter. I was concerned about each and every child that was on the second floor. See, when you have an attitude or gratitude about who God is, you're no longer concerned about your foe. You're more concerned about the multitude. When Jesus came to the earth, it wasn't about the people who he grew up in. My God, help me, Jesus. But he was concerned about the multitude of people that he was going to come in contact with, that he was sent to tell them about his Father. Oh, my God, help me up in here. There's too many people concerned about just their own and less concerned about what God has called you to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so while I'm in the room with my daughter, and we had two doctors in there, and we were talking about the problem, talking about my daughter's laceration of her liver, her kidney was crushed, and then we talked about the blood clots, and before we can go any further, all you heard was code blue, room such and such on the second floor, code blue, room such and such on the second floor. They did not hesitate. They stopped talking, and they ran to wherever the room, the people called the room. And then you start seeing nurses and doctors running down the doggone hallway. And I'm looking like, what in the world is going on? You know, so I stepped out and I looked and I peeked and I seen them bring all of this medical equipment and stuff. And then all you heard was clear, boom. You see the child chest or him jumping up because they was trying to resuscitate him. The child went into cardiac arrest, respiratory distress. He was dying. And they was pretty much saying, ain't nobody dying on my shift. Yeah, see, y'all missed that one. Somebody just missed that one. I hope somebody caught that. Overseer, did you catch that one, Overseer? Ain't nobody dying on my shift. Glory be to God. When you are a believer, there's a shift that God has placed you on. Amen. And it's time for you to be what God has called all of us to be. Coming from the book of Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter, he called all of us to be watchmen. Oh, God. He called all of us to be those who are on the lookout for those who are going through some things so that we can warn them of what's getting ready to take place, what's getting ready to happen. Hallelujah. Are you a watchman in your neighborhood? Are you a watchman in your community? Are you a watchman in the schools? Are you a watchman in the state capitol? What are you here for? Are you a watchman? Hallelujah. So I watched all these people run to assess the situation and bring all of this medical stuff. Glory be to God. And they was in there as I'm over there saying, Father, I don't know what's going on down there, but God, let it not happen. Whatever's going on, let it not happen. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, let it not happen. Because I was answering cold blues. Amen. And God says, because you're here, Dwayne, I want you to go to every door. I want you to lay your hands on every door. And I want you to pray for every child on the second floor. I was answering Pastor E, a cold blue. I was answering it. Hallelujah. I don't know how many prophets or how many apostles and all of those who are working in the fivefold ministry will answer a cold blue. I don't know. But I hope after tonight that after you heard this message that you'll begin to now answer the cold blue. Do you have the medical stuff that they need? The medical stuff being the word of God. Do you have that? Glory be to God. I hope after tonight you have that. Glory be to God. I know you got it because it's deeply embedded into you. Oh, my Father, from heaven. Hallelujah. So now, let's talk. Let's talk. If everybody got your word, I want you to go to the book of John, the fifth chapter. The fifth chapter of John. I want to talk to you about someone who had a cold blue. Hallelujah. But in the midst of having his cold blue or being in a cold blue situation, he began to complain. He began to complain about the cold blue. Hallelujah. But if you go to John, the fifth chapter, starting at verse number 2, amen. The Bible says this. I'm going to give you a little, just a few seconds here for those who are trying to get to it. John, go to the book of John. Amen. Hallelujah. If everybody's telling me, you say amen. Hallelujah. I know I can't hear you, but just go ahead and say amen anyway. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says in the book of John, the fifth chapter, starting at verse number 2, it says, now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bathsheba. Amen. Having five porches. Now look at, I want you to look at this. I want you to really listen to this because I'm getting ready to really help or describe this. So in my studying of looking at this, because I've read this so many times, by this pool, there were porches by this pool. Porch or under the porch, there were multitudes of people. There were multitudes of people. Amen. Now, this porch had five layers. So you can only imagine how many people were under this porch or sitting on the porch. If you have a you know, some of us, we grew up, we used to sit on our porch, and on our porch, you know, it was one level. But then when you go to the back of the house and on the back deck, you had levels where it measured up to the back door. So we used to sit things up under the back door porch, you know, or the balcony, if you will. So this, let's just use it as in this terminology. Those five porches is like a balcony, and you can store things up under the balcony. So the Bible says that they had five porches. Now watch this. In these lay a great multitude of invalid folk. It laid a multitude of invalid folk. So I want to give you the definition of invalid. I want to give you the definition of invalid, because I looked it up and I was like, wow, that's something else. So if you ever hear this word invalid, which many of us have heard this word invalid, amen. So what it means is this: a sickly or disabled person. That's what the word invalid means. It also means affected by disease or disability. They're sickly. Okay? So in this porch or on this porch, there lay a great multitude a great multitude. So there were so many people that were affected by diseases or a disability. That's what the word invalid means. So invalid folk, look at what it says. They were blind, halt, and withered. They were blind, halt, and withered, which means that they were just tucked away. Oh, I'm going to go here a little bit. Y'all follow me. There are people who are in the nursing home that are blind, halted, and withered, and their children have tucked them away. So when you have been tucked away, that means that you was never visited. And as y'all hear and have heard the stories of so many elderly people who have been put in homeless places and their children never comes back to see about them. A great multitude across this nation of elderly people who, in the mindset of their own family members, are now invalid, folks. My God, they are invalid. They are affected by or a disease or a disability. You know, they have Alzheimer's. Oh, God. They can't remember their child. So they have tucked them away. And all they are doing is waiting on a phone call. Ah, but Jesus is here to answer Code Blue. He's here to answer the Code Blue. Let me see how much time I got. Okay. I'm doing good. He's here to answer the Code Blue. So now watch this. It says, in these lay a great multitude of invalid, which means sickly, disabled folk, blind, halted, halt, and withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first stepped in after the troubling of the water was made whole of whatsoever disease he had, he or she had. That means that when an angel had touched this water, which is by the pool of Bethesda, when an angel touched it and you were the first in line, guess what? You got healed. But now watch this. There was a great multitude of them. So can you imagine everybody pushing and shoving themselves to be the first one to get into the pool? Ah, man, listen to me, people of God. Can you imagine so many people who are waiting on you because they're right next to the pool and you got what they need? The angel had what they needed, but it was only for one person. Don't you know you got something that a multitude of people need? I can just stay right here. There's a multitude of people who are sick in Los Angeles. There are a multitude of people who are sick in Chicago. There are a multitude of people who are sick in Milwaukee. There are a multitude of people who are sick in St. Louis. There are a multitude of people who are sick in Pennsylvania. There are a multitude of people who are sick in New York, New Jersey, Staten Island, Long Island. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? There are a multitude of people who are sick over that they are waiting for a particular person to come and assess the situation and give them what they need. Ah, my God, help me up in here. Thank you, Father. Amen. Y'all just got to bear with me. I'm caught up here. Amen. Because I can stay right here. I literally can stay right here and allow the Holy Spirit to really minister to us. The Bible says in the book of Psalms 43:1, the Lord sustains him on his sick bed. Oh, my God. He sustains a person in their worst condition. The sick bed is actually your worst condition. That's you can't even move when you're on your sick bed, but the Bible says in Psalms 41:3, the Lord sustains him on his sickbed. In his illness, you restore him to full health. In his sickness, you restore him to full health. Oh, my God, up in here, what a mighty God we serve. Okay, let's go back. Verse number 5, it says, and a certain man was there who had an infirmity for what? 38 years. This man was amongst the multitude of invalid folk. Can you imagine being in a place for 38 years? For 38 years. I'm not talking about a day. I'm talking about 38 years waiting for the right person to assess my situation and then give me what I need. Oh, my God, help me, Jesus. This man was waiting for someone just to see about him. He was waiting for someone just to trouble the water that he may get in, because he might have been behind a whole bunch of people who jumped in before him. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says this, that in verse 6, it says, when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been in that state a long time. Look at what this says. This is the cold blue. This is what I'm trying to get you to understand. When you know somebody is in a particular condition, you don't let them stay there for long. You don't let them stay there for long. And what really is just like in my mind, in the cells of my mind, is that Jesus, oh, my God, y'all just bear with me for a minute. Y'all bear with me for a minute. Amen. Because Jesus, he shows up not when you want him. Oh, my God, help me, Jesus. But he shows up in a timely fashion. My Father, help me. With the woman who was at the well, Jesus showed up just in the time. Oh, my God, Jesus, help me. Help me, Holy Spirit, help me. He showed up just in the time of her distress call. Now, it wasn't outwardly, but it was an inwardly distress call. It was a 911, and Jesus shows up. And he asked the woman a question. He said, hey, that water you're getting ready to, you know, draw from the well, hey, give me something to drink. And her response to Jesus was, I'm a Samaritan woman, and you a Jew, and we don't have no dealings with one another. But that didn't stop Jesus. Amen. It didn't stop Jesus. So there's so many facets that I can just go in. Amen. There's so many places that I can go in into these areas right here. You got to see it for what it really is. She told him, I'm a Samaritan and you a Jew. We don't have no dealings. We don't have no cookouts with one another. We don't have no luncheons with one another. We don't have no social life with one another. We don't have no establishment economical things with one another. We have nothing in comparison to one another. We shouldn't even be talking right now. Amen. Then Jesus says, only if you knew who it was that you were talking to. My God, help me. Help me. Amen. I got what you need, but you are beating around the bush, and I'm trying to get to your need. Oh, my God. Now let's go back up here. Amen. So this man had an infirmity for 38 years. Bible says when Jesus saw him lying there. So Jesus had to have been sitting looking at the great multitude of folk. Trying to bum rush the pool of Bethesda when the angel had touched. Amen. So Jesus is watching from afar off. And the Bible says, and knew that he had been in that state a long time. But as he's sitting there, lying there, whatever he was doing, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? I heard the cold blew, and I come to resuscitate the one who made the phone call. My God, help me, Jesus. Help me, help me, help me, help me. Help me, Prophetess Tabitha. Help me over here, Overseer Sanders. Help me. Amen. I heard the call, and I come to assess the situation. I see what it is, and I'm getting ready to ask you a question. Would thou be made whole? Without me being whole, do you want to get up today? Because I've seen you, I heard the cold blew, and now I am here to resuscitate you because you ain't dying on my shift. I'm getting ready to put you on public display so because you're getting ready to be a testimony for the nations to know that I've done this thing because the Father has healed you. Because I'm getting ready to tell you about my Father. Oh, my God, help me, Jesus. Help me. Help me, Holy Spirit. Now watch this. The infirm man answered, "Sir, I have no one, no man, when the water is troubled." Now he's trying to explain the reason why he's in the condition of where he's at. "I've been in the multitude. I'm an invalid person, and nobody has heard my 911 or my cold blue. Nobody has heard it." My God, Jesus. And listen to me. Can I say this, Prophetess Tabitha? Can I say this? Yes, yes, thank you, thank you. I can say it. Hallelujah. The reason why many of us church-going folk, Bible-toting people, cannot hear the 911 or the cold blue is because you ain't spiritual enough. Ah, my God, help. Ah, did I just say that? Ah, yeah, 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 yeah. You ain't spiritual enough to hear the cold blue, my Father. My God, help me. You ain't in the realm of the spirit, my Pastor E. Can I go a little bit further? You ain't even in tune enough to hear the cries of those who are around you. If you can't even assess your family situations, how are you going to assess the homeless situation? Are you going to assess those prostitutes who are on the street? How are you going to assess the drug dealers? Are you going to stress, oh my God, help me, Jesus, how are you going to answer a cold blue when you ain't spiritual enough? Somebody is going to get upset with me on here. Somebody going to get upset with me with Prophet Woods on tonight. But it's okay. You're going to get delivered, glory be to God, as I did. Hallelujah. Ah, my God, help me, somebody. You are not in tune in the realm of the spirit to hear the cry. Of oh my God, the Bible says my sheep know my voice and a stranger they won't follow. There are so many people who hear voices, but it ain't the voice. Ah, my God, glory. Amen. Your ears aren't inclined to hear the Holy Spirit. But you can hear sounds. You can hear those who are on the freeway. You can hear cars driving down your block. You can hear music's coming from your neighbor's yard. Hallelujah. But you ain't in tune enough to hear the cry of humanity. My God, glory. Amen. I hope a couple of pastors that are on here and apostles and bishops that are on here that are not concerned about a title, but they're concerned about humanity. I'm not just concerned about my four children. I'm concerned about those who are fatherless. I'm concerned about those who are motherless. Do you all understand what I'm saying? I'm concerned about all kids from all nationalities, all walk of life. Things that are happening over in Los Angeles. I'm concerned about things that are happening in Chicago, my hometown. I'm concerned about things that are happening here in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm concerned about something that is happening over there in Dallas, Texas, Houston, Texas, San Antonio, Texas. Amen. All of these, y'all got to understand, when you operate in the realm of the spirit, you can hear things that other folks can't hear. I know I said something right there. Thank you, Pastor E. Pastor E said, take your time, brother. Take your time. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And so when Jesus saw him lying there, he saw him lying there. How many people have you seen lying at the homeless shelter? How many people have you seen lying at the park bench? How many people have you saw lying at the bus stop? How many people have you saw, oh my God, help me, Jesus, lying there, waiting for somebody just to talk to them about Jesus? I'm gonna give you a minute. I won't, you know, somebody can answer it in a minute. I'm gonna give you a second here. How many people have you saw just lying there? Oh, help me, Jesus. Help me. I remember my mother, spiritual mother and spiritual father were on the plane, and a group of white students, she said she couldn't remember the school. They were on a mission trip, Pastor E. She can't remember where they, but they were in a whole nother country, witnessing about Jesus Christ. And so these white children were going about on the plane when they were able to walk around asking African-Americans, Chinese, Filipinos, all nationalities, would you like to have some prayer? Would you like to have some prayer? And so my spiritual mother was going through something in her body, and one of the white students came up to her and said, ma'am, I'm picking up in the realm of the spirit that there's something going on in your body. Would you allow me to pray with you? Now, y'all got to listen to this. Lord have mercy. We can't even greet one another with a holy greeting. We look folk up and down. Don't get me started. Let me stay on track. Let me stay on track. So, thank you, Holy Spirit. So, she looked at my spiritual mother and she said, I pick up in the realm of the spirit that you're going through something in your body. And would you mind if I pray with you? She didn't know my spiritual mother. She didn't know that she was an apostle. She didn't know that she was a prophetic intercessor. She didn't know any of that. As a matter of fact, she didn't care about that. All she was concerned about was the problem that was going on in her body, because she had what she needed. Oh, my God, y'all missed that one. She heard the spiritual cry of a cold blue in my mother's body, and she went to assess the situation because she heard it in the spirit realm and said, can I pray with you? And as she began to pray with her, the Holy Spirit fell upon my mother, fell upon the girl that was praying, fell upon my spiritual father who was right there next to him. Glory be to God. They were speaking in tongues. And then all of a sudden, what was bothering my spiritual mother wasn't bothering her at all. She was healed instantly. She was healed instantly. And here we got all of this power and can't lay out a gnat. Yeah, I said a gnat. You know what a gnat is. You know, they hang around all the fruit of your apples and your pears and bananas. Those are gnats. We don't have enough power to lay a gnat out. But we want to walk around here with all of this fleshly power that ain't doing no deliverance for nothing and nobody. Okay, let me leave that one alone. Amen. Let me leave that one alone. Glory be to God. But here Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been in that state a long time. He knew he was there for a long time. He said, would thou be made whole? I'm getting ready to come to an end. He said, would you be made whole, my brother? you know, do you? But the man begins to answer Jesus. He said, look, man, every time I try to get to the pool, I can't get in. Nobody will put me in. But let me read it to you. I'm paraphrasing it in my own terminology. Let me read it what the Bible says. He says, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. He assessed the situation, Pastor E. He seen that the man has been there a long, long time. And the man began to answer Jesus in the most significant way that he possibly could, was to complain about his situation, that nobody will help me. He said, hold on, let me give you this. I heard your cold blues, sir. And I'm here because I've assessed your situation. I've watched you from a long a distance, and I come to tell you, pick up your bed and walk. Bible says in verse number 9, and immediately, what did I tell you? When the woman was praying for my mother, immediately she was healed. Jesus said unto him, rise. Take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. Now, it was the Sabbath. It was on the Sabbath on that day. Jesus healed a man on the Sabbath. And I'm not going to get into the whole rest of this because, you know, it was a, you know, the Jews thought that, hey, you can't do, it was unlawful to heal people on the Sabbath day, you know, so they were against what Jesus did. But see, there are going to be some people who are going to be against what you're doing, and you got to be more concerned about humanity than what people think. Amen. The Bible says in Proverbs 17 and 22, a joyful heart is good medicine. Ooh, my goodness. Glory be to God. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Amen. And the Bible says in James 5 and 15, and the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sin, he will be forgiven. Y'all are writing these scriptures down. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I tell you, people of God, I've told you what a cold blue is. So what are you going to do now? Are you just going to listen to what I've just talked about? Let it go in one ear and out the other. Oh, he ain't talking to me. You know, I'm a prophet to the nation. You can't be talking to me. I'm an evangelist, and yeah, I evangelize all over the place, and this now, you know, he ain't talking to me. This is a clarion call, hallelujah, which means it doesn't care nothing about your title. They don't care nothing about what you've done. Let's talk about what we can do. Amen. I'm going to go here for one second, just for one second, and it's not to give my brother accolades, you know, but he doesn't need that. He gets that from God himself, amen. But he's here in California. He takes his ministry to the park benches. He takes his ministry to wherever he can possibly take it. He gets his not citations, but he gets his permits, and he goes and set up. He feeds the homeless. He clothes the homeless. He has a store that people would donate stuff to that he's able to give to the homeless people. He does so much for his community. And he's not doing it for accolades. He's doing it because he heard the cold blue. My God, help me, Pastor E. Help me, sir. Amen. He heard a cry from humanity. And he decides to take whatever he needs to take and do whatever he needs to do, because on his watch, ain't nobody dying. Ain't nobody going without food. Ain't nobody going without being clothed. Ain't nobody going without even hearing a word from the Lord. He heard the cold blew from humanity. And he can tell you himself. He ministered to whites, Latinos, all genre of backgrounds, whatever the case may be. He's done that, and he steady keeps moving. I guarantee you, if you ask him, you ain't even got to call him Pastor E. You can call him by his first name, and he's okay with that, because when you know who you are, you ain't worried about no title. Oh, my God, help me. Did I just say that? Yes, I did. People call me Brother Dwayne. I don't care nothing about them not calling me Prophet Woods. I remember I was in church one day, and I was calling this lady evangelist, because that's what she was. She was an evangelist. But she got ordained as an elder. And so I was calling her evangelist. She wouldn't even talk to me, nor would she look my way. But she forgot that evangelist is the gift. Elder is the ordained position. So she had to be into an ordained position in order to operate in the gift. And then, so what I did was, when she didn't answer to evangelist, I said, "I'm sorry, you just got ordained as an elder. Hey, elder, how you doing?" Then she started talking to me. I said, look at this. We're so worried about titles, but we're not worried about the work that comes with the title. Here's a cold blue. Are you listening? There's a cold blue in your neighborhoods. There's a cold blue in your family. Your daughter has a cold blue, but you don't hear her because you're more concerned about something else. But there's a cold blue. The Bible says in Psalms 103, 2 and 3, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases?" Oh, my God, my God. There's a cold blue, and I hope today you will answer the cold blue, because you got what they need. It's time for you to get beyond the four walls of a ministry and go a little bit deeper. Jesus had told Peter, he said, "Launch out to the deep." He said, "Go to a place where you've never been before, Peter." Peter said, "No, Jesus, I've been doing this all my life." He says, "Yeah, that's what's wrong with you right now. You've been doing this all your life. Do something different." You've been doing this all your life. It's time for you to go to the deep. Do something different. Jesus desires to show you what's in the deep. But some of you are just surface dwellers. Y'all just want to continue to keep doing what you've been doing, what you're used to doing. You don't want to get into the unfamiliar stuff. Ah! You want stuff that's going to give you the gratitude. You want stuff that's going to give you the accolades. You want that type of stuff. But you don't want stuff that you ain't familiar with. Ah, my God, that's why you can't hear. When God says, "I need you to go a little bit deeper in your prayer." I need to get beyond. Okay, let me stop right there. I don't want nobody to say that Prophet Woods is over there fussing. No, I ain't fussing. Please believe, I ain't fussing at all. I'm just trying to let you know you need to get beyond yourself. And you need to go to the deep. There are people who are waiting for you who's in the deep. The woman at the well had told Jesus, my well is too deep. You don't have nothing to draw with. Oh, my God. I'm going to leave that one alone. Hallelujah. That's what she thought. But she didn't know that she was sitting right next to the Messiah. My God, glory. And he even told her, he said, if you only knew who was asking you to drink. He said, because I got something in me that you will never thirst again, because I went down into your deep stuff and I'm giving you something that you ain't never got a thirst again. Let me leave that alone. Oh my God, help me somebody. All right. I'm gonna close it right now, because I can keep going on, and I know Pastor E said, boy, take your time. Take your time, boy. You all right with me. Take your time. So we're going to open up the floor. Father, we thank you. Before we do, Father, we thank you for this word. Holy Spirit, we thank you for speaking to us about your concern of the multitude of people. We thank you, Father, that you're not just concerned about those who know you, but you're more concerned about them who don't know you. And Father, if we can only get out of self and tap into the things of Yahweh God and be more concerned about our fellow brothers and sisters, oh, what a wonderful time we'll have. So Father, we thank you. We glorify you. We magnify you. And we bless your holy name. And we thank you for speaking to all of us tonight about a cold blue, about the cold blue that is in this troubled world who really needs you. And it's time for all of us who have all of these titles, God, and those who don't have titles but sit in the pew, for us to go a little bit deeper. Because it's out in the deep is where all the action is. It's out in the deep. So, Father, under the sound of my voice, take every last one of us to the deep, God. As they're sleeping on tonight, God, take them to the deep, Father. I'm asking your permissive will, Father, to happen to those who are listening to me under the sound of my voice, God. Take them to the deep right now, Father. Take every prophet to the deep. Take every evangelist to the deep. Take every apostle to the deep. Take every minister to the deep. Take every elder to the deep. Take every teacher of your word to the deep. Take every bishop to the deep, Father. And submerge them, Father, into the deep things of you, that they'll never want to be surface dwellers again, Father, that they'll want to stay out there in the deep. As we glorify you, we magnify your blessed name. In Jesus' name I pray, and it is so, and so it is. So now the doors of the prophetic room is open. Amen. Those who are
let
in the prophet's closet.
Say amen.
Hallelujah, Pastor E. God bless you, brother. Amen.
God bless you, my brother. As always, you can spark up a preaching session after these encounters in the closet. Because I know I'll be feeling like preaching. So I know there's others out there that are prophetically connected with you. You get us inspired. We ready to go. Can we do another hour? And can we get a little tag team preaching on? But you know, you said something, and I'm not going to go into this too deep, because I want others to get opportunity. I see we've been having hands raised up after about 15 minutes into this session. But we need more fussing, Prophet. We need more people standing up, and it ain't crying. No, we need some more fussing. We need more fussing in the body of Christ, because we've let things go by too long. And,
yes, indeed.
And you could call it the old school. Listen, I don't care who you are. If you knew old school church, you knew church was respected. The people,
yes,
that were, even though they might have had their own mess going on, but when it came to church, The church was respected for that corner it was on. That church was respected for them doors that stayed open. That church was respected that they could always get their needs taken care of.
Yes.
And we've gotten so far away, Prophet, from being accountable, from being committed, and to being willing to be fussed at.
Yes.
Fuss at me. Come on. Fuss at me. I look, all the accolades that you could give me or anything else, you still are welcome to fuss at me. If you ever see anything in me or anything that I'm connected to that's out of line, please fuss at me. I'm giving you permission, and anybody in the sound of my voice, please fuss at me. But don't fuss behind my back. Don't talk to the people that don't even know me. Come fuss at me, please. I'm opening the door that you can come fuss at me if you need to fuss. Because I'm reminded, Paul in Ephesians, which says, be angry and do not sin. But do not let the sun go down on your wrath. There is nothing wrong with having a fervent spirit saying enough is enough. We cannot let each other talk about each other anymore. We cannot let each other be scandalized and talked about. You know, we say keep your mouth off the anointed. We let that go like it's nothing.
You better say that, brother.
And if we're going to really be the body of Christ that we need to be when these beasts come at us, because you're going to need me one day, and I'm going to need you.
Indeed.
I need you now, but you're going to need me. I need you now. So let's get our thing together now. But when these adversaries and these things come after us in these last days, this ain't no joke.
This ain't no joke,
we need
brother.
Each other. But we so weak now, we can't trust each other. I can't confide in you because you might tell my business. We got to do better, Prophet. And you put us on call today.
Glory.
But I'm just saying to you, man, fuss, please. On the Now Network, please fuss at us. And I know all of the people that have followed you from day one here are willing to receive. Because when we in the closet, we ain't got no title. We don't have no position. We don't have degrees.
Amen.
When we in the closet, we sitting at the foot of God listening to the prophetic word tell us, do right.
Glory.
So please continue, be encouraged, got as much time. You have as much time because I normally program you for 2 or 3 hours. So whatever
Lord.
The Lord ever has to do with you, you don't have to worry about are you going to get cut off. You have the platform here, and this is your closet. Amen.
Yes,
so bless you, man of God. Bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. Continue to hold us accountable. Continue to call us out. Because we know you called yourself out first.
Amen.
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 My brother, Hallelujah. I've never met in person, but I feel like we've known each other forever. And he can call me, and I'm on my way to Atlanta. He can have a breakdown. I'm going to find my way or find somebody close to him to go pick him up.
Amen.
Yes,
you know
sir.
What? California is on my radar this year, brother. You're on
Man,
my
you
radar
better come
this
on.
Year.
Well, there's a pulpit for you anytime. You can pop up and just say, I'm here.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Yes, sir.
Indeed.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, look, family,
man.
We know you guys are out there excited. I see two hands that have been up when you just broke into the prophetic, and we want to give you guys that opportunity to come on in and acknowledge that you're here in the closet and come on and talk to the prophet. Area code 910, last four, 4257. Again, 910, last four, 4257. You're live. You're in the closet.
Hi. My name is Keisha, and I just wanted some prayer for a closer relationship with God.
God bless you, Keisha. How are you doing today?
Amen.
I'm doing fine.
Amen. Keisha said all she wanted is some prayer. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this wonderful vessel, Father, that you brought on the airways that is in the prophet's closet. So, Father, I ask right now prophetically, God, whatever she needs and what she's in need of, Father, I ask right now, God, that you begin to move things, Father, God, that has tried to pinpoint her or keep her in a close proximity,
Father.
Lord, I thank you that you're getting ready to break the chains up off of her, God, that she can be free to do whatever she needs to do for the kingdom. And so, Father, allow her walk right now, God, to be more after you, Father, for those things that are chasing her, God, are trying to keep her from you, Father. So, Father, we bind the hands of everything that is trying to prohibit her from getting to the kingdom. So, Father, open up the windows of heaven. Pour out our blessings, God, of maturity, more to be with you, Father, than the things that she is coming out of. So, Father, we thank you, and we bless you, and we honor you. In Jesus' mighty name, for Keisha's life, in Jesus' name
Lord.
We pray.
Jesus
Amen.
Name. I agree.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I appreciate
Amen.
It. God bless.
Amen. God bless you too, woman of God.
God
Keep
bless
your
you,
head
woman
up.
Of God.
Keep your head up, Keisha. Do
trying.
You hear me?
I'm trying.
Keep your head up. Hey, look here. The Bible says, weeping men do it for the night, but joy is coming. Now, there's a prerequisite of this. It never said when joy was coming. It just said it's going to come in the morning. So what you need to do is stay in close proximity with God. Get around like-minded people who are pressing their way towards the cross that can actually help you. Because I hear a cold blue inside of you. It's a silent cry that's saying, y'all don't see me in the situations that I'm in. Oh, my God, help me. You don't see me, and I need somebody to really go deep into the deepness of where I'm at and pull me out to bring me to the closer things of God. Ooh, my God.
Thank you, Father.
Listen, Iba Shora Sandebe Kushtaba. I don't know where you live, woman of God, because I'm going to believe that God will send people in the area of where you at to minister to you even when they don't even know nothing about you, just so that they can pull you a little bit closer to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Where you at? Where what state you live in?
Oh, I'm in Texas.
You're in
so,
Texas?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, amen. Well, what part of Texas? Houston, Dallas, Laredo, where at?
Yeah, more like to Laredo. Yeah, more to the border, yeah.
Glory be to God. So, Father, I thank you for Keisha, Father, who's next to Laredo. And I'm praying, God, that the saints over there will hear her cold blue, that they will be able to, oh, God, glory, resuscitate her, Father, from the things that the enemy is trying to keep her in. Oh, God, I thank you right now that the hands of the enemy has been bound. And I thank you right now, God, that you're getting ready to loose upon Keisha the spirit of the Holy Ghost like never before. And I thank you, Father, that she's going to see dreams and visions, Father, of where you're getting ready to take her to. So, Father, I thank you that you're moving her from
thank
one
you.
Area to the next in the name of Jesus. And God, I thank you that she's even changing zip codes and area codes, Father. She's getting ready to move, God, into the greater things of you. So, Father, begin to pull her closer. Allow her to stay in the frequency with you, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And God, we glorify you. We magnify you in Jesus' name. Yeah, I hear a cold blue coming from you, Keisha. I hear a cold blue. And God says, I'm coming to resuscitate your situation. Hallelujah. Ain't no dying on my watch. But still, stay plugged in with us, Keisha. Stay plugged
okay.
in with us. Amen. You know, and we also have another prayer call. You know, Pastor Eve's going to give me the opportunity to give the number out. And just write that number down and come join us. We would love for you to be a part of us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
God bless you.
Amen.
God.
God
bless you.
And we invite you to stay connected with all of us. We all have networks that go weekly. There is not an empty day that we are not spreading love and joy, no matter what geographical place we're at. But spiritually, we're here at all times. So we want to share that with you also before you leave today. So hang on. Amen. Area code 707, last four, 1467. You are live. Come on in the closet.
Good afternoon. This is Irene.
Good afternoon. This is who?
How are you?
What's your
name again?
Who
am I speaking
to? Irene. Irene, how you doing, woman of God?
Great, great, great. Now that I've been cleansed and seeing my future a whole lot brighter than I did last month, I have been put through the trials since probably before I was born. Come to find out family's been working dark stuff, right? And I was targeted by the enemy, within my relationships came in to change minds and hearts about the men that I thought were going to be my counterpart, be my, love me for who I am, for everything that I am, and didn't happen. Prayed and prayed and prayed for the last 2010, so that's what, 15 years? Been in prayer.
No, it's 14 years.
And praying at my jobs against any enemy that comes in, being knuckleheads, black spirits on people, and making them show their tail, you know, and then pray them out, gone, be, you know, Lord Jesus, take them, cast them out. And I was, my question really to everybody, the prophets tonight that are on in the closet, have you heard of anything popping in the heavenly realms? Are there any stirrings that you're picking up in the heavenly realms?
Well,
any lost souls that have been freed from the enemy crying out for joy that they're released?
You know, what I hear, Pastor E, from Sister Irene is some real deep, some deep hurt.
It's not a hurt. It's a
but no,
fear
no, no, no,
I've
no,
overcome.
Okay, go ahead.
I've had to fight in my life and stand up to the enemy in my home and give grace and love to those that are battering me and do it with God's blessing. And now that I've been, since the pandemic, put everybody on lockdown, isolated, going deep. That was the other question about how deep do you, what do you want to see on the other side of deep? What are you telling people to go deep, but not giving a detail about what they will encounter? Because for me, I went deep and I grabbed a hold of my little Irene, my soul, and had her give me good memories. And we walked through the park, through the sprinklers, and it said, come and hold me. I need it now because I couldn't get it in the physical. And she's like, it'll be okay. And I promised her that I would take care of her. And so today I did. We took a shower.
Let me ask you a question, ma'am, because you're talking about the person within you. Am I right? You said
you took for my inner child.
That's right. So that's not the deep that I'm talking about, ma'am. I'm talking about the deeper things of God. If you read in the Bible with when Paul had said, when Jesus said, like, I took him to the third heavens, that's going deep. He showed him something that he'd never seen before. And this is where we're talking about. God is trying to show us some things that we've never seen before. And you're talking about a little child that's with us.
The first thing I ask is, what have you felt in the heavenly realms that has been broken in the last 3 weeks? That's why I'm asking from the deep. If God has had something that someone has done on his behalf on the earth, and in the heavenly realms they're touting this person, that person doesn't have to come back to this realm again. Some people talk about
Irene, let me step in here, because I'm hearing the word realm. Let's talk about dimensions. Let's talk about, first
yeah.
of all,
yeah, okay,
give me a second, because I hear what you're saying, and I want us all to have the same understanding. Well, first of all, heaven is not a realm. Hell is a place that we've been given an opportunity to experience God.
Agreed.
So heavenly realm, it could be, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness in where?
Agreed.
Heavenly places. So you have to be, first of all, identify what space are we in, and know that if we're truly in heaven, it's not a place, space. It is a it is a place and a space for us to bring down heavenly to earth. So has something
Agreed.
Been broken in heaven? Has something been broken in heaven? No, because heaven's perfect. But has something been given from heaven?
No, I'm not talking about being destroyed, being broken. I'm talking about...
I think this is probably a discussion we can have offline, and I'm willing, and I know Prophet is also for us to do a conference call, a Zoom call, because this is
fine.
A little bit more deeper, and I think what you're asking for is something that if any answer we give right now would not match what you're looking for, because you're on another level of understanding right now, and I would prefer for us not to get confused, but to be willing to say, you know what, I'm asking God for more, and I want him to answer me. How do we translate, and how do we make those things happen? So,
right.
so
look, right
my personal number is 562. I understand. My personal number is 562-413-3710. And if you want to talk and continue to talk right now, don't hang up, because we do have a private green room here at the Now Network where we can come offline and we can really hear your question and you can really hear our answers. And that's what I want to provide for you right now. So I want to ask Pastor Terry to go over into the green room and really listen and hear what this young lady is saying to us so we're all on the same page, and then we know how to give the right answer to the question that is coming. Pastor Terry, I'm sending you over right now. Irene, go over into the green room and speak with Pastor Terry. We will be right with you as soon as we finish with our other callers. Amen? It's back in your hands.
Amen. Amen. And I was getting ready to talk to her because she started to describe the little person that was inside of her.
I know.
And so now she's talking about the realm. So now the realm is a dominion, which only occurs or prevails in a unknown state.
Yes.
It's that's why I'm saying when you go deep into the things of God, that means you got to get beyond your own intellect, your own mindset, and allow God to broaden it. That means to open you up.
Amen.
Amen.
But let's pray right now for Irene, who's in the green room with Pastor Terry.
Yes,
I believe she's really asking for, and now you know it as well as I know, she's really asking the right question, but for this environment, it may not be the right answer because anything you give right then didn't sound correct. Anything I gave didn't sound correct. And everything we do here, we do decently and in order.
And in
so
order.
Anyone
Amen.
Out there that would like to come on and join us in the closet, please dial one. Any question is available. We're not knocking down anything, but some things are better in private than they are in person with everyone that doesn't have the same understanding. Dial one, we still have a moment in this space for you to come in and talk with us right now. Area code 678, last four, 0978. You are in the closet. Come on live.
Pastor E, greetings to you. Brother in Christ, this is your cousin, Brother Xavier from Atlanta.
Wait, I'm getting one of them bubble sounds on your phone.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Speak up just a little bit better.
Yes, sir.
How about now? That is a little better. Who is this?
This is Mr. Xavier from Atlanta.
Hey, how you doing, brother?
I am blessed out of favor. I enjoyed the message that came this evening. Because, yes, we are in a cold blue state. But I tell you, something that you said, Pastor E, that really stuck in my spirit and about being transparent, about, you know, being honest with oneself and willing to tell you. I tell them all the time, I don't have a problem with open rebuke. See, a lot of people in the body of Christ have a problem with open rebuke. Open rebuke, you know, like that they're doing something that's wrong.
Hey, my brother, I can hear you every other word because what you're saying is rich right now. Because every other word is powerful, but your phone is really kind of going in and out, and we want to hear everything of that richness of what God is saying to you right now.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me now?
You know, back in the day, when we had to put one leg up and maybe reach the other arm back to get that good reception on the TV.
Yes, sir. I was on my I had on my headset, but what I was saying was that I talk with Prophet Woods whenever he and I have a chance to talk. I don't have a problem with open rebuke. You see, I would rather you come and tell me something where I need to improve on right then and there than not tell me right then, because, see, if some time may go by, you may forget. Let me know what it is. I'm making wrong in my walk with Christ. I would rather, as the old saying, I say, I would rather you tell me now than for me to lift up, than for me to go to hell and lift up my eyes. See, I don't have a problem with open rebuke. So let me know right then, because then you give him the opportunity to go before the Lord and allow him to come in, take out what's not like him, so that I can continue on in my, in my Christ walk, you know. So that really stuck in my spirit right there. And the word, yes, we are in the cold blue. It was a wonderful word that came tonight, Prophet Woods. I loved it. I'm going to go ahead and go back on me, Pastor Eden. God bless you, man of God.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Minister Xavier. Hallelujah. I don't know if
Amen.
Pastor E. Okay, there you go.
Amen. Amen. Bless you, my brother. I know that phone, we gotta make something happen there. Amen. Is Pastor Terry still over there? Wait a minute. Hold on. She got took off. All right. I got her back over there. I think she might need some help. Oh, no. The young lady hung up, too.
Amen.
All
Amen.
Right. Okay, Pastor Chair, I think we're back in the main studio. The caller hung up. I pray that you were able to give some information
right.
there, and
right.
and hopefully we can assist.
Right. She said she was going to stay on the line, and also I do have her phone number. We're going to talk
Ain't
offline
no
afterwards,
man.
Too, and then we're going
Thank
to
you.
Pray, and we'll call you
See,
guys.
See, that's what we do up
me.
In here.
Amen. Amen.
Everything decent and in order. All right. Now, look,
yes.
we still got a couple more minutes, 19 to be exact, if anyone out there. And I love the first young lady came. She said, I just need some prayer. Well, I need prayer, too. You need prayer, too. I think we can end this if no one else wants to dial one and come into the closet and talk. We can end this in prayer. We all need prayer. You can never get enough prayer. And the one thing people around me know, I'll stop the whole show for some prayer. Because prayer works, prayer changes things, and the more we pray together, and the more we believe together, and the more we trust together, and the more we walk
together.
By faith and not by sight, we'll now realize what God is really doing through prayer. So let's do this thing, man. I love you, my brother. I can't wait to see you. I feel it now. I feel when you say California's on the radar, I can feel it already. I'll hear a truck pull up out front. And I'll be just about to preach, and I'm going to get off the pulpit.
Amen. Amen.
I'm
going to
get off the pulpit and go from there, man. But go ahead and pray us out of there, man. Let us know any other thing. Now, for everyone else out there, we do have here the number you call today, 319-527-6173. It's also available Monday through Saturday with some kind of content from the Now Network. Reach out to us. Link to us. You can share that same number I shared before, 562-413-3710. We can send you a lineup. So if you're just sitting around doing nothing, there's probably something going on here. And then on top of that, Prophet has a whole other avenues of ways that you can keep connected and in touch with him. We're going to give him the floor for that. And then pray us out of here, man. And God bless you.
God bless you too, Pastor E. You know, and this is for Sister Keisha, who I pray for, and Sister Irene. who so eloquently was trying to, you know, give us her heart. And I felt that, and I'm glad that Pastor Terry is going to be able to reach out to her.
Yes.
If either one of them want to get in contact with the ministry, you can email us at the Prophet's Closet, the number 3@gmail.com. The Prophet's with an S, Closet, number 3@gmail.com. If you want to come to our conference line, that where we pray every Thursday and we have a spoken word, Keisha and Miss Irene, you can dial 319-527-2149. Once again, that phone number is 319-527-2149. Amen. And we're there every Thursday. This will be the fifth Thursday, which is tomorrow of the month, that we'll be praying. So every fourth, and then there are months that has a fifth Thursday in it, we just pray. But for the first 3 weeks of every Thursday, we have a word that we go into the Bible and we minister to people. Amen. So if you, Irene, if you want to give us a phone call, I mean, on our conference call and talk with us, and you're more accessible to do that. Glory be to God. If you want to email us what you have inside of you, Miss Irene, and we'll have someone from the office email you immediately back, you know, so that we can assess the situation, because we believe that there's a need. Hallelujah. And also for you too, Keisha. God bless you. I'll be Friday in Clarksville, Tennessee. So if anybody here that lives in Tennessee or near Tennessee, come up to Clarksville, Tennessee. The name of the church I'll be at is Faith Missions Baptist Church in Clarksville, Tennessee. All you have to do is pull it up and you can get the directions. I don't have the information in front of me, but you can get there. We'll be there Friday night and Saturday night. Amen. So with that being said, Father, I thank you for everything that you've done. I ask that you bless Irene. I ask, Father God, that you bless Miss Keisha right now. You know the circumstances and the situations, Father, that are at hand way far better than I do. So, Father, I ask that you open up the windows of heaven and pour them out blessings that they don't have room to receive. Allow someone, Father, from the Now Network, as far as Pastor E and Pastor is concerned about this wonderful vessel, Irene. I pray, God, that she's able to get everything that she needs, Father, every answer to her question, Father, in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we thank you for Keisha and those who have been listening. And as we're getting ready, Father, to exit out of the Prophet's Closet, I pray that you continue to bless the Now Network. I pray that you continue to bless the hands that are strategically being used with Pastor E. I pray that you send him help from the north, the south, the east, and the west, God. I thank you for money that is coming, Father, that he's going to need to do more of the work of the ministry, feed the homeless, clothe the homeless, Father, do everything he can possibly do, Father, to help those who are in distress. So, Father, we glorify you. We magnify you in Jesus' mighty name, and you have now been dismissed from the Prophet's Closet. God bless each and every last one of you. Amen.
If anybody is grateful, they need to check out this song, new release from the new grave.
For all you've done for me,
I'm even
grateful. Family, thank you for joining our daily broadcast.
Family, know that you are loved, honored, and appreciated in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining us for our daily programming, and we sincerely thank you for your participation, prayers, and presence. If our ministries have been effective in blessing your growth in Christ, please join our covenant givers at Provoke2000Now.com to make all financial donations. Provoke2000Now.com. Again, we thank you for your willingness to covenant and to assist with the outreach ministry programs of the Now Network and P2P Ministries. With your help, we are able to respond and to meet the needs of the people and the communities that we serve. We pray that your life has been changed, rearranged, and transformed by the renewing of your mind. In Jesus' name.